All right, we're gonna go ahead, skip ahead, and listen to me, Satan, by Carlos Anacondia, to chapter 4, Demonology. This is a reality we face every day, is encountering people with demonic powers. It's nothing new for anybody who reads the Bible. And in fact, we read about people who were delivered from demons by the Lord Jesus. Now, let's go on to say that Christians either underestimate or overestimate Satan, but God teaches exactly where to stand before the forces of evil. We know very well that Satan is like a roaring lion roaming the earth and looking for someone to devour. This we know. We also know that these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. Mark 16:17. Therefore, don't be afraid. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and obey his commands to go and preach, these are the signs that you will encounter in your journey. Demons are evil beings who have no material bodies, and they go around looking for a place to dwell. They speak, they reason, they see, and they hear. And there are many examples of this in the book of Mark. We'll give us a few. When Jesus was preaching in the synagogue, those present were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority. They had not perceived the same authority in others, not even in the teachers of the law. But something happened. A man inside the synagogue started to react and scream. Right away, Jesus recognizes an evil spirit was speaking through this man's mouth, saying, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him sternly, saying, "Be quiet, come out of him." Mark 1:24-25. Look, even the demons know who Jesus Christ is. Let's look at this unusual situation in the synagogue. This happened at the time of Jesus' teaching, not before. The individual who was possessed was inside the place. And it's interesting to note that although the religious men admired Jesus and his teachings, they didn't recognize him as the Messiah. Yet the demons did. Only with our spirit can we recognize the spiritual world. This is what happened when Jesus heard the man screaming. He immediately told him to be quiet and to come out of that body. The demons struggled to stay. They shook the man violently, and finally they came out with a shriek. After this, people started to recognize that Jesus had spiritual authority, and they asked each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out." Luke 4:36. Demonic manifestations. There are many different demonic manifestations in people, and they look different in different people. There are the oppressed. It is common to see people spiritually oppressed. The oppression works on the outside. It never ceases, and its only purpose is to break down our resistance. It manifests itself through temptations and persecutions. It's usually Christians who suffer this type of oppression. It's the devil's way of trying to get people to go back to their old sinful lives. That's why the Bible tells us not to give the devil a foothold, but to resist him. Then there is the tormented. Demons torment people. In this type of manifestation, the evil spirit is inside the person and works from within. There is fear, depression, and affliction. But let us be clear in this. A tormented person that manifests a spiritual problem isn't necessarily demonized. There aren't that many demonized people in the world, but there are many tormented by the devil. The person doesn't offer any resistance, but the demons are there, and we simply have to cast and drive them out as we are told to do in Mark 16:17. We drive them out in the name of Jesus. Consider the Syrophoenician woman who told Jesus, "My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession," Matthew 15:22. After a brief conversation, Jesus told her, "You may go, the demon has left your daughter," Mark 7:29. If the demon left your daughter, it's because the demon was inside. If not, Jesus probably would have said, "He has left your daughter's side." The tormented person is not demonized. There is an area of his or her life that is under the devil's influence, either because he or she has not given it to the Lord, or because there is a pact or a bondage. maybe hatred or resentment, or even unforgiveness. We all know very well that when these feelings are buried down deep in our hearts, a door opens for the devil to come into our lives and create havoc. This is a very real and not a mere invention. Thirdly, there's the possessed. People that are possessed temporarily lose the ability to control their bodies and will. After being delivered and counseled, they don't remember what they went through right before the deliverance. The demonized lose control of their actions. They do these things that they don't remember afterwards. Suddenly, they get enraged and break and burn objects. When they come back to their senses, if questioned, they will say they don't remember anything at all. Let's take a look at a father who took his son to Jesus to be delivered from a spirit that had robbed him of his speech. The father tells Jesus at times the spirit would seize the boy and throw him on the ground. The boy would foam at the mouth, gnash his teeth, and become rigid. He also added that often the spirit had thrown the boy into the water, into the fire, trying unsuccessfully to kill him. I really think this father had a lot of faith. How clearly he described his son's suffering and with what spiritual maturity he interpreted that it was an evil spirit that had possessed his son. And the father also said this had happened from childhood. He was also right in declaring that it was a mute spirit. His son didn't speak, didn't scream. He described many different ways in which the boy had been forced by the demon to manifest externally, but screaming was not one of them. Let's see how Jesus delivered this boy. He said, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." Matthew 9:25. The first thing Jesus did was call him out. He said, "Listen to me, you deaf and mute spirit." But if he was deaf, how could he hear? Brother, never forget that Satan is the father of lies and a deceiver. Take a look at what happened after Jesus rebuked him. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." Mark 9:26. Now, all of a sudden, the demon was screaming and shouting. "So you still believe him?" Jesus knew with whom he was dealing with. He can't be deceived. The insane. This type of manifestation indicates a complete and permanent possession. The devil has taken possession of the body, the soul, and the spirit. It's the total opposite of the person filled by the Holy Spirit. This was the case of the Gadarene man. He was completely isolated from others and had a violent behavior. He would hurt himself, cutting himself with stones. I have seen insane people in mental hospitals. They look but don't see. If you talk to them, you are not sure they're listening. They don't understand anything because they're totally dominated by evil spirits. Maybe you wonder if it is possible for them to be delivered. God has compassion for them also. Just as he delivered the Gadarene, he can deliver others too. Let's look at Mark 5:1-15 at the Gadarene from the city of Cordoba. All right, this is a personal testimony that he had, but you can see the story of the Gadarene in Mark 5:1-15. Let's go on family curses. Every time we curse, we are involving a spirit. Many times the reasons people need deliverance is because others have cursed them, especially parents. One of the most common curses is when grandparents, uncles, or aunts or parents give away their descendants by Satan's request. They just don't know the terrible consequences of doing this. All generational curses produce frustrations and hereditary failures that have to be served. The Bible says that there are things that are bound on the earth that need to be loosed in heaven. That is what we need to do. It is quite common, and especially in Hispanic cultures, to create ties through family mandates and judgments. We have received inherited curses even as children. Some examples are, just like your father, you always be dumb, or you are no good. The spoken word expresses authority. God spoke the world into existence. The spoken word builds up and it also tears down. It is a common thing to hear parents or siblings call a child crazy or dumb. Through these words, we invoke demonic spirits and tie the child up. Words have the power to bind. Some time ago, I severely corrected one of my children when I heard him saying something terrible to his brother. I was really troubled when I heard him speak like that. Never allow such words to be spoken in your family. As Christians, our responsibility is to bless, to bring blessing to others, even through our words. Whenever I talk to my children, I say, "How are you, genius? What are you up to, champion?" Some mothers are totally unaware of this truth, and so their children, as they grow up, pay the consequences of what their mothers pronounced over them. I've known men whose moms have told them, "Why were you ever born? I wonder why I ever brought you into this world." These young men's lives were impacted until they found Jesus, and finally their wounds were healed. When we say idiot or moron, we express our momentary anger. We don't realize that there are consequences to pay for this in the spiritual realm. The following young man's testimony clearly reflects Hispanic cultures and its use of common negative phrases. And he gives an example of somebody who was rescued from generational curses. I imagine each curses has its own familiar phrases, but we frequently hear those words, especially between those who we love, each other, spouses, parents, children, brothers, and sisters. Don't allow this to go on in your life. Remove those words from your vocabulary. Realize that some of the failures we experience in life are consequences of all of this. Don't impact the life of your loved ones by talking this way. Spiritually, these words have great value. The devil takes advantage of them to make the person who has received the sentence or curse believe it's true. Sooner or later, they will wound the person to such an extent that only the ministry of the Holy Spirit can heal and enable the person to forgive the offenders. God teaches us that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who will love it will eat of its fruit, Proverbs 18:21. Curses bind lives and stop the blessings. Learn how to bless your children, your spouse, and your parents, and you will notice a big change. The Apostle Peter teaches, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." 1 Peter 3:10. Our tongues cause a lot of pain. Only Christ can bring healing to the situation, but only if we are willing to recognize our wrongdoings. If we want a good life, we need to refrain from speaking evil. Spiritual forces of evil participate in these kinds of curses. Satan is not omniscient. He can't read my thoughts, but he does understand what I declare with my mouth. That's why it's so important to confess blessings and not curses. And remember the fig tree that withered when cursed. See Matthew 21:19. Now let's not take this and be very careful that we weigh carefully that a person with authority has these kind of issues. We have seen a hyper-faith teaching, a word of faith, blab it and grab it, name it and claim it teaching, which is out of balance and will say things and will forbid you from saying things, even if it is the truth. Let's remember that you are not God, that it is God that speaks life and death, and that we have the power to a certain degree and under the anointing, but we are not the final authority or word. Confession, a word made flesh, which is Jesus Christ. We need to carefully distinguish this because of so many wrong teachings regarding this particular teaching, which is an accurate teaching, but it's been taken to an extreme. Remember that heresy is truth out of balance. Confession is extremely important. When people accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives by faith, I always tell them to repeat their prayers out loud. The devil has to hear them declaring their confessions of faith. Many times I see people standing before the platform that when the call comes for them to offer their lives to Jesus, do not repeat out loud what I'm telling. So I tell them to shout. The devil has to hear them. When someone says, "I prayed mentally," I tell them that the devil didn't hear them. The Bible speaks clearly about this in Romans 10:10. "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." Sometimes I see people struggling to say, "Lord, here is my life," or "Lord, I receive you in my heart." It's because at that very moment, there is a spiritual battle taking place in their hearts. There's no room for two kingdoms in our hearts. One has to go, and that depends solely on the will and free choice of the person making this very important decision. There are teachings, and this is a big issue, about a divided heart. You cannot serve two masters. Either Jesus is Lord, or he is not.